So as in the past, if you want to download the other sheets that we'll be using tonight, they're on domestic.blogspot.com. All right, we're going to start on Daf Yud Tes. The Tanyas are up there, Josh, if you want to grab them. Right up there. Which is right in the middle of chapter 13, Perek Yud Gimel. It's the Tanya. Okay. So, what we're discussing now, going back to the level of the Beinoni, which is what we call the focused person of the Tanya, no slouch by any extent of our imagination, clearly a person of a tremendous exalted status, but as he described last week, this Beinoni does not live in a constant stage of being engulfed in the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Quite the contrary. It's only during davening that this person feels a strong love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After davening, when he goes off to work, he does the rest of the thing, the rest of his daily things, he goes back to normal life. And that's how Rabbi, he said, made the mistake about himself thinking that he was a Beinoni because he clearly felt that type of love, but he figured that it was, you know, he was constantly in a stage of davening. And that's what led him to have that experience. So now we're at the two dots about 8 or 9 lines down from the top on page Yotes. V'inemidas ahavazu. This level of love, hamura bebeinonim, which is discussed about the Beinoni, bishas hatfila, that a person is able to experience if they prepare correctly for davening, which takes place al yidei yizgabrus hanefesh or the kiz, by the person allowing their godly soul to gain the upper hand. Hine ligabe madregas hatzadikim evde Hashem beemes liamitai. When we compare this level of the Beinoni, and we compare it to the level of the true tzaddik that we've been discussing in the earlier chapters, who are those who are Evdei Hashem Be'emes, those who serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tremendous love and passion. So when we compare them, Ein Bechinas Ahavazu, this level of love, is not called Nikras B'Shem Avedas Emes Klal. Even though this guy, as we've discussed earlier, never thinks about... What is going on? What is that buzz?
It's the speaker.
Oh. Okay. So that person never thinks about doing an Aveira. He would never consider doing active Aveira. And he's able during davening to turn on the deepest, most intense levels of love. Nonetheless, compared to the Aveda, the Tzaddik, it's not called Avedas Emes at all. Why? See, he explains. That's because Me'achas Shechaylefes V'Everes Achra Tfilah. Because the love and the passion disappears after davening. Uksi, even the Pasuk says, Svas Emes Tikoin La'ad. A true expression lasts forever. Va'ad agia loshen sheker. And here it's coming to exclude falsehood. Meaning, the definition of falsehood is that which passes. You find, for instance, in halachic terminology, in the laws of mikveh, so talks about, there's something called a mayan. A mayan is a wellspring. A wellspring is the highest level of tahara you could get. Many mikvahs attempt to build their mikvah by digging down until you reach. When we built our mikvah, we also tried. And we hit the level of a spring, but the water didn't rise to the surface. You would have to put a pump in, and that defeats the purpose. Many places, though, once they hit that place, the water comes to the top. That's the highest level, because then even in running water, you can even tell yourself, it has all kinds of hidurim in a mayan. A spring takes of this. So the Mishnah, when it speaks about a river that dries up, you go to California, look, during the summer months, many of the rivers dry up. That's called Mayim HaMechazvin. That's how it's referred to in the Mishnah. Kazav is falsehood. It's a false river. Why? Because it dries up at times. Truth is Kaim La'ad. So, compared to the level of the tzaddik, who's always on, this is not called emes at all. This level of observance, this level of passion, is not referred to as emes. Now, bother me, why is he telling us this? This is supposed to be uplifting for the Beinoni. Why is he putting him down? So you see in a moment why. I think it's a critical lesson. V'yafal pikein, despite the fact that compared to the level of the avodah of the tzaddik, this level of ahava of the beinoni is not considered emes. But what's critical for us to understand is v'yafal pikein legabe madreges habeinonim. Nikras avodatama be'emes la'amitoi shelohem. Despite the fact that compared to the level of the tzaddik, this is not considered emes. But compared to the level of the beinoni, this is considered an absolute, whole, perfect emes avoda. Ish kefi madrigosai, each person according to their level, b'madreges habeinonim. That means to say that beinonim are not, no two beinonim are created alike. Every beinoni has their level, and every beinoni at their level is serving an avodah which is emes for them. What's he telling us here? He's telling us a critical lesson. And that is, stop comparing yourselves to other people. What is for somebody else emes is for you sheker, and what for you is sheker is for somebody else emes. Meaning, other people's madrigas are completely and totally irrelevant to us.
Wait, didn't we know that in the beginning?
We did?
Yeah, he says that every neshama has a different level of acquiring the knowledge.
He's just saying it here in a different way, but he's saying it in a very pointed way, meaning ligabi, a very specific aspect. What he's saying, what he's teaching us here, is that a person has to strive to find their emes, and I believe that the chiddush in what he's saying is that this is not apologetics, meaning it's okay for you, but that every person at the level that they're at has their madreg of emes. Going beyond that is sheker. Going up over and above that to something which they have no business doing is sheker, and being beneath that is sheker. So by doing comparisons, the person gains nothing. Quite the contrary, they're hurting themselves because they're entering a world which for them is sheker.
What Gabi is saying, when a Beinoni is created, is a Beinoni created as a Beinoni?
He's going to get to that later on in the Sefer.
I thought it was good to be jealous of somebody else's avoda or something like that.
So Zach is bringing up a very important point. What do you do with the fact that it says, Kinas Seferim Tarbu Chachma, that being jealous of other people's avoda does have a place and an advantage? It's not on this level, meaning it's not about Madregis. You're supposed to learn from somebody else's asmal, you're supposed to learn about other things that are relevant to you. But when it comes to madrega per se, I want to be a Baal Ruach HaKodesh, I want to be a, you fill in the blanks, that's a bunch of Narishkeit.
And how do you talk about those people who say you should at least try, you may attain that level?
Not attaining levels, doing. For doing, there's kin is appropriate. Let's see it inside. How can it be that it's emes? What do you do with the fact that Lemaisa, he explained, that after davening it passes, the love passes. If the love passes, then it seems to be, by definition, sheker. Rashi, in where's the Gemara? Rashi says on the word emes, that emes is roich toich seif. Emes is made up of the first letter of the alphabet, the very middle letter of the alphabet and the last letter of the alphabet, because it points to the balance, the consistency that he's talking about. So how can you say that the Beinoni's level is emes for them if he just said himself that it passes right after davening? So he says a very fundamental thing. Hoyil ubikoyach nafsham hoelikis lachzer ulo'ere b'chines ahavazuli oilom. You know why it's true? Because at any given time, we have the capacity in potential to go back and to once again wake up this love, lo'olam, always, b'iskabrusa, through the challenge, through the winning, b'shas ha'tfila, during davening, midi yom b'yom. So he's introducing a phenomenal concept, and that is that if a person has the potential to ignite, then it's as if it is. You find the concept in the Gemara, Kolaroy Labila and Bila Makvisai, right? If it could be mixed up, right, with the Karb Mincha, then mixing it is not Makiv. There's extra copies if you need a copy. Oh, you have yours.
Yeah, I got it.
So then here, due to the fact that a person could ignite the love, therefore the love exists. Obviously, it's going to take preparation. Obviously, each person, according to their level that they're at, it's going to require the appropriate hachana to be able to kindle the type of love, the type of reaction, the type of reality which is appropriate for that person. It doesn't all prove the whole, this whole premise that emes, and the ramifications of this are huge, that emes is not an absolute. Emes is according to the person's madrega. How do I know? We know, we are taught that the midah of emes is the attribute of Yankiv. The Sifrei Kodesh, beginning with the Zohar, calls Yankiv Avinu the Briach HaTichon. This last week's parsha, there was a single pole that went through all the walls of the Mishkan from one end to the other. Hamavriach min hakotzer lekotzer, that goes from one edge of the Mishkan to the other. Merum hamailis umadregeis, and what this is teaching us, this attribute of Yankiv Avinu, this level of emes, pervades every level of Jewish existence, from the highest, most deepest loving Jew to the simplest Jew. How can it be the same? This guy's a Baruch HaKodesh, a guy who has the visions of the Merkava, down to a person who has visions of a Chevrolet. How can they both be the same level of Ahava? So he says, Elamai, every person at their Madrega has their emes. And it's by definition has to be so. The Sfasemes points us out all the time that a person has to go looking for the kiyum, for the sustaining force of everything that exists in the world. Nothing could exist without the spark of a Kodesh Baruch Hu in it. And therefore, if a person has open eyes, they find the kiyum of all things, which is the emes of its existence. And here he's saying that has to exist within us. Ubechol mailu madrega, and at every level where Jews find themselves, mavriach, this emes of Yankiv has to span, toich nekuda hoem tzoyis, it goes straight through the center point, she nekudas b'chines midas emes shalah, that is, it is the very pinpoint, the nekuda of emes of that person at the level that they're at. Therefore, midas emes hinachla b'limitzarim. For this reason, emes is a nachla, it's an inheritance without boundaries, because it touches Jews at every level where they're at. They have their emes. Ve'en lashia l'mayla adrum ha'maylis. It has no limits at the heights, to the highest of heights. V'chol ma'alas ha'madrega shalamata. But we have to understand that every level beneath it, hem ka'ayin, the gabim ma'alas ha'madrega shalamata. obviously, as the emes is exposed, as a person is elevated, or as you look at different people who are at a higher level, their emes is in no way comparable to the emes of people who are not at that level yet. But nonetheless, it's emes for them. So he introduces here a very fascinating concept, and that is that we have to grow in our observance. And as we grow in our observance, as we grow in our exposure, our definition of emes grows. But that it doesn't allow for the dismissal of emes of each person at the madriga that they're at. Then, just to make sure we don't understand what he's saying, he throws in some Kabbalah. Ki yedua liyedechein, as those who know Kabbalah understand, shevchinis reish umeichen shamadreges tachtoines, that the mind, the top level of the lowest of levels, hen lemata, are still way below mebchinis ekvayim, even from the heels, viragle madreges al yoinis vehem, they're even lower. Okay, the head of the lowest of levels are lower than the heels of the upper madregas. There's the Gemara refers to the level of malachim called chayas are higher and deeper than the heads of the category of malachim that are beneath them. So the point is clearly that the madrega that the tzaddik is at is way beyond. His emes is way beyond the emes of the Beinoni.
There's no overlap.
There's no overlap. But nonetheless, don't dismiss the emes of the Beinoni. That's the point that he's trying to focus on, is don't look at it and say, look, I can never attain the visions of Yechezkel. I can never come to the clarity of Rebbe Yashiv. Right? It's not, who says you have to?
Right.
That's not part of your madrig. Can you make yourself feel better by looking at the Russia?
I have more MS than he does.
It happens to be true, but where is it going to get you? We're not compared to them. We're compared to what we could become.
Just to, you know, to give you
a boost in the arm, yeah. Now, here's a very interesting sefer. This, the Vitziva HaKoyen, that we'll learn now, this piece of Vitziva HaKoyen was authored by Reb Aaron Shmuel HaKoyen, who was a son of Reb Naftali Hertz HaKoyen, who was the son of the Smichas Chacham. The Smichas Chacham was the Godlador, one of the most famous of the Paiskim and Mefarshim and Shas. Now, this Sefer Vitziva HaKoyen, he was a Talmud of the Maggid of Mizrich. Okay, and the sefer that we have, he wrote several svarim, one on Medrash and Shailas Tshuvas. All we have is the introduction to the Shailas Tshuvas. The rest of it is lost; it was never printed. This Vitziva HaKoyen was his tzava; it was his will. Okay, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous sefer. He has mamish magnificent things, but he quotes a great deal from his Rebbe, from the great Maggid of Mizrich. Now, the person he's going to quote here is a contemporary of his who authored the Sefer Ora Meir. The Ora Meir was one of the three or four svarim that Ramatala tells Rablabala to learn. Tells him to learn Tanya from cover to cover, Bermaim Chaim, Moranayim, and Ora Meir. It's a very, very, the Aramaic is a very, very passionate sefer. And he quotes him here, again, quoting the Maggid, and the historians write about the Aramaic, whose name was Reb Zev Wolf from Zhytomyr, that the Maggid said about the Aramaic that none of his Talmidim comprehended his Divrei Torah as clearly as did the Aramaic. That's a pretty strong haskama. The Rishoner used to tell that the Maggid, and remember the Rishoner was a grandson of the Maggid. So the Rizhna once sent that it was after the Maggid had spoken. The Maggid used to come down unannounced to his Talmidim, and everybody writes, as all the Talmidim write, that he walked with he had a bad leg. So they would hear him coming because he would drag a foot and he walked with a stick. And he'd come in, and when he was inspired, he would give over Divrei Torah, and then the Talmidim would go and review the Divrei Torah that they had just heard. So they all went back to where they were staying, and the Talmidim were debating the words of the Maggid, and the Arameir went to lay down. He was laying in bed with his eyes closed. The Maggid sent his Gabbai to tell the Arameir, to tell Reb Zevulf to stop reviewing his Divrei Torah because it wasn't allowing him to sleep. The Maggid went to go to sleep and he was disturbing his sleep. The guy comes in and sees that Reb Zevulf is sleeping. So he doesn't bother him. He goes back. And a few minutes later, the Maggid says to him, I told you to go tell him to stop. So he goes back again. He goes back and says, I told you to tell him to stop. Anyway, this goes back several times until he realizes that while it looked to him like he was sleeping, that he obviously was not sleeping. I mean, you see from here not just the greatness of the Arameir, but you see the fact that his Divrei Torah were disturbing the Maggid's sleep, and that the Maggid saw his sleep as being of such value that the Arameir better cut it out because he wanted to sleep. So take a look here on Daf Kuf Hei. Because one of the things that always intrigues me about, especially about Sifrei Chabad, is that they seem to be on their own track without any of their contemporaries ever talking about the same concepts. So here, we find a very interesting thing in that this Vitziva Kohen, who was a contemporary of the Baal Tanya, right, they were both by the Maggid, that he also addresses this challenge of the Beinoni, which isn't mentioned anywhere else in the works of the Talmidei HaMaggid. So take a look here. V'shamati. V'shamati b'pi Rav Chosid HaMefursim HaChocham HaAmiti. I heard from the mouth of the pious one, the true wise man, Reb Zevulf Mizhitomer, Sha'omar, who repeated, Kimeduma, I'm almost sure, B'shem Rav Chosid HaMaggid Mereni Redo Be'erzal. He repeated the name of the Maggid. And you'll see this being very reminiscent of what we've been learning due to the fact that the person serves two masters. Like the Gemara in Bracha says that the Beinanim has these two judges who are constantly pulling at him. Sometimes the person is serving his creator. Upam liyitzroi, and at other times the person is serving their yetzer. Ve'eina yochel lo deminafshoi, and at times the person finds it difficult to judge. B'mechu davik yetzer. Sometimes we really want to get a glimpse into which one am I more connected to. Im la yamin, am I more connected to the right, to the yetzer toiv? Or do I spend more time involved with my Yetzihara? Which one is more me? So how does a person test themselves? Taught the Maggid. For a person to find out which one they're more connected to. He can figure this out. Behir Hurov. Be'ez hapnai. Person can figure it out by recognizing what do they think of when they're not doing anything special, when they have open time. Im hirhura b'divrei Torah. If their thoughts are about holy things, yeida, he can know shenafshei einin nifredes min haTorah. He can know that his soul is not separated from Torah. And so is true of the opposite, that if he finds his mind wandering without pressure, meaning what are the natural thoughts that enter into the person's mind? Are they thoughts which are good? Are they thoughts which are inappropriate? That's how a person can tell where he's at. Ubiyoyser be'es mishkav elishan. The most opportune time for a person to judge this is when he's laying in bed to go to sleep. Shaz da'ite pinuya be'es. The person's mind is very wide open. Yire b'mehu maharer. He should see what he contemplates. B'zeyeda eiz ederech ohuv l'nafsha yoyser. That's how a person can tell which way is more beloved to them. Va'omer, that's where the Magid's message ended. Va'omer Rav Achosa Menorah Rav Zev Vav Zal Anal. So the Arameir interprets based upon this. B'derech Militza, he said, kind of in a humorous way. Sha'omer Shleima Melech Olav Hashalom B'Shir Hashir. King David says in the Song of Songs as follows. Akuma. Gorgeous interpretation to this pasuk. Akuma ve'aseiva v'abir. David the Shlomo HaMelech says, I'm going to get up and I'm going to wander in the city. Right? The famous pasuk in Shir Shir. Bekashti eshahav nafshi. I'm looking for that which I love. Bekashti v'lemitzasi. I go out and looking and I can't find it. Right? Says the Arameir, ki aguf nikr ir. The body is called the city. Kameshik zivikahelis. Like Shlomo HaMelech himself writes in Koheles, Ir Kitana, there's a small city, Vanoshim Bama'at, the Koyal Aguf. Kameshadosh Chazal, the Gemara tells us that the Ir Kitana refers to the person's body. It's a small city. Vizesh Shiksiv said the Arameir. This is what the Pasuk is saying. Akumana, I get up. Vaseva Beir, and I'm looking around in the city. Shadam Gufa Ba'atzmai, the person himself. Nechapes bigufay, the person is searching in his own body. Asheru pesach tamid al shtei asifim, he recognizes about himself that he's dancing at two chasanas. Va'ivrid l'shnei adonim, and he's worshiping two gods. Bekashti yishav anavshi. So he's out looking to find out what is it that I love. Sheroi tzaleida, the person wants to know about himself. Mashu ov es yoiser etzlai. Which one is more beloved to me? Im darkei ha-Torah v'avodah? Do I have a greater, deeper, more loving relationship with the path of Torah and avodah? Or darkei ha-olam? Or am I more into the rest of the matters of the world? V'omar, and the person says about themselves, bakashti, I'm searching for lei mitzasin. I can't figure it out. He can't figure out about himself. Which one am I? Is Va'omar continues the pasuk and says, "Al mishkavai beleilos bekashti eshahav nafshi." When I lay down in bed at night, I was able to find what I love. How? Dimroya, because if the person sees, be'ez shedaitoi ponui, at a time that his mind is open, it's not occupied by anything in particular. B'mehu mahara, if he can realize at that time, what does he think about? U'bezeh yodea, by that the person can figure out. Ma shenafshay ov yoyser, the person can figure out what he loves more. B'divrei pichacham chayin, usvasayim something.
Are we saying that's what his nefesh loves more at that moment, or bechal?
No, that's where he's at. That's where the person is at in his maturity, at that moment. He goes on to talk about the value of learning things bal peh, of a person training themselves to discipline themselves to think in divrei Torah, to have. It's a very, very fascinating thing because different people, depending on how their minds work, can train themselves, can accustom themselves to think about the kind of divrei Torah that grip them. Some people enjoy mathematical stuff. Some people enjoy pilpul. Other people enjoy stuff that has, Kabbalistic things. I remember that when Hechel Menachem started releasing the Likutei Torah from the Baal Tanya, it was the first time that I ever understood any of his, that chelik of his Divrei Torah. And I found it so totally absorbing. I found myself dreaming about it at night. It was so overwhelmingly occupying. It was just it was the kind of Divrei Torah that can take over your entire, you know, wherever you look, wherever you see. That's what he speaks about it in Derech HaMelech. The Piyosetz Rebbe talks about the fact that when your mind is involved in an exciting idea in Divrei Torah, no matter what you learn, no matter what you see in davening and in Gemara and Chumash, wherever you look, you're going to interpret whatever you're looking at based upon the exciting idea that you're involved with at the time. But, you know, sometimes you can lay in bed and say, okay, I want to think about something noble. And you draw a blank because you're not involved in anything of any depth. And that's really where Iyun, where the concept of learning something with kind of depth, it's very hard to do with Afiyami, because the minute you close the Gemara, you don't remember what you were learning. But when your mind is involved in something which is more gripping, then it's something you can go back and revisit. So at least you see here that this concept of the Beinoni who's serving both masters was something which was on the there was a return going on at the table of the Maggid that the various Talmidim of the Maggid were discussing.